Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
50 years ago, the day after Martin Luther King was assassinated, hell came to Chicago. And it seems odd, all these years later, to thank a man for something that he did during that ugly time. I don't know his name. I know he was black. I know he was kind and good. And he got my mom out of the riots on the West Side. If you go outside Chicago and mention 68 and riots, you know what they'll bring up? The Democratic National Convention, the yippies and the flag burning. But the other riots, the riots are forgotten, came out of the rage of black people after Dr. King, who preached nonviolence and goodness and love, was gunned down by a white racist. Whole blocks were burned down in Chicago, never to be reclaimed. If you drive through the West Side today, you'll see evidence of it. Empty spaces, like lost teeth in some ancient skull. It was the time of Richard J. Daley's famous shoot-to-kill order, when he said that he'd conferred with the superintendent of police, quote, and I said to him very emphatically and very definitely that he should immediately, under his signature, shoot to kill any arsonist or anyone with a Molotov cocktail in his hand in Chicago because they're potential murderers, and to issue a police order to shoot to maim or cripple any arsonists and looters. That was Daley. Could police really shoot to maim? No. If you shoot somebody, you're trying to kill them. 9 African Americans died in the riots. The day after Martin Luther King died, the anger spilled over. My mom, now 87, was on Madison Street in a lawyer's office meeting about a traffic accident. 2 young men had been drag racing down Southwest Highway. One was the son of a state legislator. They slammed into my mom's 62 Cadillac and almost killed her. The lawyer she had was kind of political, and he arranged things that she would get $2,000 for the new car and nothing else. In other words, she thought he was representing her, but really he was representing the Democratic machine and took care of business his way. And she was naive, and that's how things go. But in the middle of the discussion, the lawyer cut the meeting short. He says, you have to go. And out on the street, office buildings were disgorging their workers, and my mom was left there all alone. People knew where to go, but she didn't know. And the crowd was coming, angry, smashing windows, and cops were rolling and freaking. And there was this Canadian woman from Guelph in her nice little dress and white gloves and purse. And she didn't know what to do. Lady, screamed the cab driver, get in. And she got in and then only realized then that he was black. He told her to get down on the floor and she did. He drove through the crowds, past a barricade, drove south to our family store in Gage Park, where whites were arming, ready for war. A black man in Gage Park when the riots were beginning was a black man in danger. He had put himself in danger, took himself to a neighborhood where people wanted to hurt him, to help my mom. And he took her out of the West Side and he got out and opened the door for her in Gage Park as my dad came running out of the store. His name may be forgotten, but his kindness isn't forgotten. He treated others like human beings in need, the way Dr. King wanted us to treat each other. And I wanted to say thank you to him again.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Here we are with another edition of the Chicago Way. That was a somber story, but there's so much going on That's not somber. You know, it's not about the riots. It's about the carnage to come in the Republican Party and in the Democratic Party. With us, Jeff Carlin, of course, always WGN producer of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis, and our spiritual sister who's decided to grace us with their presence, Kristen McQuarrie, Chicago Tribune editorial board. And she's drinking something that sounds rather wretched.
I know. I thought I needed like a cleansing drink this morning. So I bought something with wheatgrass and aloe vera. I thought it might, you know, make my skin nice and glowing. It has chunks of slimy aloe vera in it.
Is this something like a Lauren Cohn special?
Probably. Lauren would probably know all about this. She'd be able to tell me if it's worth the $1.50 or whatever that I paid.
Yeah, she'd do a health and an economic report
on my drink.
That
yes.
sounds like something you'd have to force yourself to drink after a bad night at spring break. Or like
with
you would accidentally drink.
Chunks?
Yeah.
The slimy chunks, Jeff. Does that go with that whole?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
you know, six sliders and the.
Well, if you have a severe sunburn like me, because I burn in like 5 minutes in the sun.
I see. Yes, you could rub this all over your body. Yeah.
And I drink it just in case the sun had seeped through and burned my insides. Yes,
right.
That's why I would.
I see.
I'm an expert on aloe vera.
You are?
Yeah, people know this.
Oh yeah. People know this.
Well, of course.
Okay.
Didn't I tell you this? On our honeymoon, Betty and I went to Virgin Gorda, the Fat Virgin, beautiful island, and they give you little islands to go on when you're newlyweds to separate islands.
Oh.
Why? I don't know.
Wait, they separated you and Betty?
No. We go to our own private island for the day.
Oh, of course.
You know, it's like as small as a cartoon in The New Yorker.
I don't find that all that confusing, but okay.
Anyway, so I got sunburned because I didn't want to put sunscreen on. I thought it was too, you know, whatever.
Too tough.
The next day I was so sunburned that I couldn't even move my legs.
Oh.
Which is bad on a honeymoon. Mm. Like, you don't want anything touching the back of your legs.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, and I'm screaming, so I said, I'll cut some aloe vera. Don't worry, honey, I got it covered.
Uh-oh.
And I had keys. Why did I have my keys in my pocket? But I did. And I cut aloe vera and told her to put it on me. You know, I just grabbed it off the ground. And I started screaming, and then she started crying. And then she screamed some more and cried some more. And I cried and screamed. And our whole marriage was over.
Oh,
honeymoon was dead.
That is awful.
And then the busman, came in the next day. And I said, can you get some more aloe vera? Because this aloe vera is not working. And he said, because every time she pours it on my skin, I scream. And he said, that's because it's cactus. So I was putting cactus on bad burns, and he went out and got a aloe vera leaf on a silver platter with a beautiful linen napkin, perfect, you know, Rockefeller Resort that it was, and Betty applied it, and I was good.
Right. I was going to say, it doesn't pour. It's gel.
It's kind of jelly. Gelatinous fibers that I would not wish to drink with the hangover.
I know. It's so weird that I'm drinking this, but now that I paid for it, I have to finish it.
Is that what they drink in hell that doesn't exist now, Jeff Carlin?
It's the close cousin of the agave plant, which they make tequila out of.
Tequila. So what about, could you use non-existent aloe vera in the hell that doesn't exist?
You might need it. You would be burned.
What is going on with this, my heretic friends?
I only heard a snippet of this. So did the Pope weigh in and say that we no longer...
We turn to our comparative religions professor, Jeff Carlin.
What?
Do you know about this?
No, I missed this.
Where are you guys? The Pope has a friend. He's like 95 years old and he's an atheist. That's his best friend. Okay?
Sure.
So they're talking, and the atheist writes a story about how the Pope says there is no hell.
Hmm.
It's just a story or something like that.
Okay.
And now the Vatican is saying he was misquoted. He wasn't to be quoted publicly, which will force the Pope to, I guess, pronounce that there is hell. Is there hell? Is there heaven? I think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of hope. I mean,
that's the whole point of why Christ died on the cross, right? To redeem us. But I don't want to get it. I'd rather talk about Paul Vallis. What's going on there?
You know, I think this is really shaping up to be interesting, the mayoral race. We've been so focused on the governor's race for months, but here you have people who know Rahm Emanuel really well trying to oust him now. I think that's probably pretty disconcerting if you're Rahm Emanuel. You've got Gary McCarthy, someone who is very tight with the mayor. They spoke every day, sometimes multiple times a day, considered that, you know, they were friends. They considered themselves to be good friends. So he kind of knows where Rahm's soft spots are on crime and the way police are deployed. Then you have Paul Vallis, who knows CPS and City Hall budgeting really well, another place where Rahm Emanuel's vulnerable. And then you
find the P. Where's the P?
Right. Yeah. Yep. And then you have, I wouldn't rule out Troy LaRavier, the ousted principal of Blaine Elementary, who also knows CPS and, you know, was retaliated against for speaking against Rahm and then fired 2 years ago from his position.
You also have perhaps Lori Lightfoot running.
Right. Sorry. Possibly Lori Lightfoot, who's the head of the police accountability.
I mentioned her in a column, and she said, "Do you want to have lunch?"
Oh, I'm like, great!
Yeah, okay, yeah. See how it works.
And my personal favorite, Willie Wilson, Dr.
And
Willie
of course, Willie Wilson. You know, I was looking at numbers the other day. He actually got 10% of the vote last time around.
So, is there a Whitey's for Willie thing going on?
Oh, absolutely.
Remember how everyone got, like, liberals got all upset, like he said Whitey or something?
Yeah.
Like, he was just joking.
Yeah,
relax,
he was at the city club and he said, "Oh, Whitey's in here. I think I'm the best." And then that's what he did.
Wow, that is a great imitation. Do it again. Do it again.
No, you put me on the spot. John, I'm not a fan, no?
No.
Oh, Willie's a friend.
I know he is.
He's a friend. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. He has a great story, and he's been helping, like, bail people out of jail and pay their property taxes. And
he's the only one that I know that plowed with a mule.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a part of his backstory, right?
Mm-hmm. His backstory is that he grew up a sharecropper's son. He plowed with mules. His father plowed with mules. So did my dad. Wow. My dad plowed with mules.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
I mean, mules, not like for a photo op, but doing it, you know, where you get lukewarm water from the well when you're thirsty.
Right. The story of getting kicked in the head by a Truman the Mule, right?
Oh, you remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Willie Wilson's in.
Mm-hmm.
Vallis has announced, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yes, he has. His
attorney has. Actually, didn't he announce in a great Chicago Tribune column?
He
it was
did,
announced
sort
like a couple
of, yeah.
months ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, all signs point to as the Magic 8-Ball
will
sign.
Paul Vallis run for mayor? Like, really? Like, do you think I'd write that if I didn't know he was going to run for mayor?
Right.
Come on, man.
What do you think, based on what you know of him, though, the death of his son, how that will impact him if he actually gets in the race, and if so, his ability to kind of focus on that, what could be a very stressful time?
As we tape this, is before his announcement. He is already on Facebook saying he's in this to win. His lawyer's talking about it, but he's on Facebook saying this. I'm in. So he's in. It was I can't imagine how you deal with that. But people deal with things by moving forward, or they sit down and die. And I don't think Paul and his wife Sharon are people who sit down and die. They have two other sons who are police officers. And opioid and all that, the drugs and all that are, you know, big no-no in his life. And I think that he'll get some strength from it, really. I anticipate, as do you, sort of like soft feature stories about the father and son and all that. We do stuff like that in media and in politics. But then, and who knows, I might even write it, but the bottom line is the city's budget, the city's finances are falling apart. The city already announced, what, that $1 billion? Oh, remember the deficit for the CPS? We forgot to tell you, it's another billion, and that the Tribune editorial board has written about. So really, we're talking dollars and cents and crime and Laquan.
Right. So that trial is supposed to start unfolding in June if that happens. These things do get kicked and delayed, and I'm not, you know, fully confident that it will actually start happening then. But just that video of that shooting will, you know, kind of, if people have felt sort of sleepy about that issue for a couple of years, they're going to be awakened. And so I don't know that Rahm necessarily will lose, but I think, again, the chances of a runoff, because he has, you know, some heavy hitters this time around, unlike the last two times he ran. A runoff is more likely.
Jeff, what do you think about that video when it comes out? Will people believe the mayor who says some columnist, without mentioning him, some columnist keeps saying that I said on the video, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
There's no proof of that, he'll say. Or will people believe what I've been saying since I wrote about the video coming out in the first place, that the city said on this thing to get through his election, and then after his re-election against Chuy Garcia, it came out. And if it had not come out, I mean, if it had come out before the election, African Americans wouldn't have abandoned Chuy Garcia. They would have voted with him.
Yeah, they would have flocked to him. I think it'll be very interesting because, like you said, it has to be proven. I mean, obviously, there's the thought is there, and it makes sense on paper. But I think the piece of it that'll be interesting is if Van Dyke, if this trial goes through and Van Dyke is found not guilty, you know, how the city's going to, there's going to be terrible things to happen to the city, I'm sure. And how he handles that and what that result is that's going to impact, I think, more so, because I don't think they're, I mean, unless we know somebody, one of you knows or somebody else knows that there is actual hard proof and it's going to come out in this trial, I don't think that's going to be tied to him directly. You know, there's not going to be a smoking gun, if you will.
To the mayor? The mayor's not on trial.
Right, that's my point. So I don't think.
But Christian's point about every day that video will be shown again and again during a trial. And that people around this, not circus, but event, will be commenting on it. And I can't see how WVON ignores it. I won't ignore it. I could see the Sun-Times ignoring it because they're going to be all ROM all the time. That's the ROM paper now, the way I see it. Mm-hmm. They might as well just endorse him now, like they endorsed Joe Berrios. They just might as well do it. I don't know about broadcast radio.
I mean, it'll be that, like, storyline will be a part. Oh, for sure, that storyline will be a part of it. But I don't. Without someone being able to tie him directly or prove that openly, people are going to. Is that doubt's going to be enough to push that back in people's minds?
I think the danger in having someone like Gary McCarthy run, and he's vulnerable on this too. But Gary knows exactly what went down. He knows the timeline. And if he has some sort of a smoking gun on Rahm, that's why I think you saw Rahm immediately come out with a commercial against Gary McCarthy the second he announced, because he sees him as more of a threat. But just putting the city back in that moment, it was November, it was a few weeks before Thanksgiving, they released the video in the evening.
The judge ruled, surprised everybody. No,
you have to release it. So they did sort of this, you know, they had reporters come to the police headquarters, they watched it, and then Rahm went to a Christmas tree lighting on Michigan Avenue. There were just lots of mistakes between then and even the, you know, ousting of Gary McCarthy a month later. A lot of tone deafness in those 5-6 weeks that if the city gets back in that place, you know, he could be in trouble.
It'd be interesting, too, to see if broadcast picks up your analysis, Jeff, which is there's no smoking gun. Because the way a lot of this stuff happens, there's not going to be a smoking gun. Just like there's not going to be, if I'm going to bribe a big shot politician, right, I don't sit there and say, hey, if I give you money, will you do this for me on tape? Nobody talks like that.
Right.
That's not real politics. Real politics is, it's about omission. It's about wiggle room. And Gary McCarthy knows exactly,
right,
because he's brought it up, and he brings up Fran Spielman of the Sun-Times and the interview she did with Steve Patton, who was the
Corporation
Counsel, and how this thing went down. And if you study it, you'll see. I mean, there's no way that Rahm didn't know what was on the
paper. Yeah.
Come on. I mean, I've known him for 30 years. There's no way Rahm doesn't operate like that. No mayor who would be responsible would want to say, I don't want to see this, right? It's just impossible. Now, how that rolls out, I don't know.
Yeah.
Will Vallis make it an issue?
I think they all will. I mean,
if Lori Lightfoot, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even just the, you know, trying to keep the videotape from being released, but the police officers all changed their stories. Mm-hmm. There was a cover-up. I'm just going to say it. There was, they were protected. the FOP, you know, came out and said it was a justified shooting. And it took a journalist to start asking questions because somebody tipped him off to the autopsy that this person, this kid, was shot 16 times. And that sort of got the ball rolling. And it wasn't, I'm forgetting his name right
Clavin,
now.
Clavin, or I forgot his name.
Jamie Calvin.
Brandon Smith,
William Conway were the three reporters who were pushing that.
Good reporter and great.
Scooped everybody, by, you know, continuing to pick at that scab. And so it wasn't like the city was forthcoming about any of that. They had to be pushed for this all to be exposed. So it's going to be ugly, you know, this election. But I do think you have a series of people challenging Rahm who are a little bit, you know, these are not political gadflies. These are some serious people who could oust him, certainly make it difficult.
And a few of them could make the case that I think editorial boards and institutional Chicago would demand, which is, can this person run the city on day one? Because that's what they want. They want to know, can you run the city? I mean, that's Rahm's thing. You might not like me, but I'm competent.
Exactly.
Right?
And that's compelling. I mean, I don't disagree with right. that.
But
yeah.
Can the others do it? I think Paul Vallis can do that, can make the argument that he's ready to run the city from day one, even before he gets in.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a runoff with Paul Vallis and Rahm Emanuel does not win the election.
You don't think so?
No way. Because I don't know where Rahm's votes come from.
Yeah.
I wrote a piece a couple of weeks ago. Where do they come from? Wilmette? Lincoln Park? That's not enough.
I mean, the first time he ran, he won just about every ward. He might have won every single ward. Well, and if he
had Barack Obama's arms around, giving him a big hug, and it was like a deal. It was a switch off. I'm on Charlie Rose's show. I say, I want to be mayor someday. Bingo. He's out. Bill Daley's the chief of staff in the White House. Rahm comes home. He's mayor. They find the, you know, the wedding dress and the.
They kick out the people who just signed a lease. I know.
They kick
crazy.
Out those people.
And four people just signed a lease to rent out Rahm's house, and they're like,
the wedding
sorry.
Dress and the crawl space. Bingo. I'm here.
I'm a resident. I never left. But Vallis has not been vetted in a very long time, and so all of the things that has done in other cities, charter, you know, basically creating an entire charter system in New Orleans. That
Which is
going.
To, I don't know if it's so terrible.
Well, I don't think it's terrible.
Editorial boards like that.
Well, exactly, but I'm just saying when you're talking about his base, I think Rahm will be more attractive to teachers and perhaps organized labor once those commercials start coming out about Vallis.
And also, you're going to see if it's Gary McCarthy. Gary McCarthy will drive black voters to Rahm's light, right to Rahm.
Yeah.
He'll be hugging. He'll be, you know, that picture Will Lee from the Tribune took a while ago, where Rahm was at a black church and he was surrounded by ministers and he closed his eyes and he looked like this Holy Spirit was upon him. Did you ever see that? I'll send it to you.
Yeah, send it to me.
You can put it up for the Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but just the idea of that, of McCarthy in the race, would drive African Americans to Rahm.
Yeah, and even though McCarthy is trying, he's trying to appeal to black voters.
Yeah, sure.
He's trying to say, I know the police assignment issue. I know that resources are being directed to the north side and downtown and that your communities are being neglected. But I just think that's a tough sell. Former police superintendent, white guy.
New York accent.
New York accent, looks like a military dude. Right. I just think that's
support,
a huge turnoff.
Support, stop, and frisk. I mean, that's going to be tough. He's going to
That's going to be
that.
Tough. But can I ask you another thing that could be like problematic and... It's not. I don't want to say bloody, but I got the idea on the other side of the aisle. It'll be. It's like Thunderdome. You know, we like our politics like Thunderdome, right? Two men enter or women, one man leaves.
I don't really know what Thunderdome is.
Oh, Thunderdome's from Mad Max. Okay?
Oh yeah. Gosh.
Okay, so in Thunderdome, Mad Max, Tina Turner is the boss of this town in the
Badlands.
Badlands in the future, post-apocalyptic. And there's a Thunderdome. So if you have a dispute, you go into the Thunderdome and solve it.
It's a place. It's like a big arena.
Arena of
that. Think gladiators.
It's like gladiators.
Okay.
Okay? And the phrase is, two men enter, one man leaves. Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm thinking, because at the City Club coming up.
Oh
look
at this transition.
Dan Proft and Bill and Pat Brady, friends of both of them, are going to be tearing it up.
We're going, man.
We're going.
We're going.
That's going to be amazing. I saw that pop up yesterday. And
what did you see?
On Facebook, as the kids call. There was a posting for this event I saw, and they're both their pictures that are cheeky,
right.
well dolled up headshots of
right.
Dan
airbrushed. Very airbrushed, I can attest.
Right, but Dan Proften.
Does Danny have a shave? Did he shave?
Oh, yeah. Pat Brady discussed the future of the Republican Party in Illinois.
That doesn't sound like what's really going to happen.
No.
Where it's like, Pat, Dan, you immigrant slut. You know, it'll be something like that.
So. They represent.
They hate each other.
Well, they used to be friends. So
right.
it's kind of uncomfortable for somebody like me, and I'm sure you, John,
yeah,
because we're friends
like
with both of them. But they got down and dirty in some of these legislative races, and then of course in the governor's race with Dan Proft supporting Jeannie Ives and Pat Brady representing more of the more establishment, more moderate wing of the Republican Party. Really went after Jeannie for that ad, and then.
Pat kind of went.
I think he's made it so personal.
Pat went a little personal first.
I
do. I think Dan was talking about the establishment Republicans as turncoat traitors, Benedict Arnolds. But I don't think he wasn't. Was he saying Pat's Brady's name?
I don't know who said who took the first swipe.
Yeah,
but I mean, he certainly has called Pat, because Pat lobbies and lobbies for some. A more Democratic-leaning organization. He's taken him down. But then Pat went on election night.
That's when I saw
and it was,
thing blow up.
Ouch. Awful things. And I have to say, watching this kind of turmoil in the Illinois Republican Party for years, I can't say that the conservatives aren't always focused on policy. That's what I see. I really don't see this as them being like power hungry or trying to enrich themselves, which is what the accusation has made.
Oh, that the conservatives are just trying to make money.
Yeah, that Dan and his group are trying to, enrich themselves. I've known them for a couple decades. It has always been about advancing policy in the state that they believe would improve things here.
Wrestling power away from those that control it and make all the decisions. I mean, that's also one of Dan's points for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, the whole dust, bringing in the Illinois Policy Institute people to the governor's office, obviously not a good move. But the other point is, the more moderate wing, the Jim Durkins, the Tom Crosses.
You mean the
people,
combine wing?
The
guys who never, and I like them all, but guys, and I'm talking, I'll throw journalists in here too, who never saw Bill Cellini as anything other than a kindly old man who liked to pave streets.
That all
right?
Just well, all
Come
of that.
On.
What is their policy position? What? Tell me one thing, and I mean this, and I'm not trying to be to degrade them, but give me something that they have advanced in the last 15 years.
Selling debt, so that guys who are on the inside selling and buying debt make money. I really don't see what the moderate, and I like some of them, okay, like you do, but from Jim Thompson, okay. Well, I remember when he has his parties at Winston and Strawn, there's a long line in front, you know, waiting to greet, to kiss his hand. And I'm thinking, what is this? Like, this is like the Sicilian Godfather, like the bride.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going up to greet the bride. And I don't know what it was exactly, but it was just creepy and weird. But all that, Thompson, Edgar, Cellini, Shalander, Combine, over and over and over again. Denny Hastert, all of them. Have they done anything? The only thing they did was kick Peter Fitzgerald out of politics. That's the only real thing you can think of that they did. And that was wrong.
I'm just trying to think, like, in Springfield, session to session, what, give me a policy position that they have really fought for loudly, even if they lost, even if they died trying. And I really can't come up with one. Even, like, all the pension debt and the pension reform and the bill that finally passed in 2013, it was ruled unconstitutional, but it was, you know who got that through the General Assembly? Mike Madigan.
Right.
Mike Madigan got that through the General Assembly. So, in terms of just changing the way that Illinois operates, and should we have, you know, right to work zones? Should we have better workers' compensation? Do we not want to have a graduated income tax because it will run people out of the state? I just don't see that wing of the party advancing a policy position, and I do see it on the other side. So
what about the personalities, though? Because that's very important stuff that you're talking about.
I know, it's so boring.
No, it's not. It's very important because sooner or later the Ponzi scheme breaks and every copper and every teacher listening to this is going to get stuck with a bill when the money's gone. All right, it's just going to happen. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, what about the personalities? Because I think that WGN Radio has to give Dan Prof some more airtime on WGN. Now that I keep hearing all the, you know, every time I see Pat Brady hear him on WGN, don't you think?
Does he talk? Does he get ugly? I have not heard him.
No, he talks. You know, most of it's DC stuff and a little bit of Illinois. He doesn't.
Jeff, you're on the spot, dude. We put you on the spot. You're the WGN guy here. Should Dan Prof get more time on WGN to compete with Pat Brady?
No, because he's got his own radio show.
I will say, Pat Brady is correct in that there can be an ugly side to that conservative movement.
Yeah,
and look at me.
And I get that, and I don't ascribe to that at all. Right. I am not anti-gay. I don't like the scorn, the feeling of scorn that mm-hmm. sometimes seeps out from that side of the party.
It's a deplorable thing when deplorables get upset. They get mad.
And then what?
And things come out like that.
Yeah.
It's a function of powerlessness, I think. And it's also, I think, some of the charlatans in the group in that side kind of push those buttons a little bit. I don't like it either.
Yeah. And so he's right on that. Yeah. But now he's basically said, leave the party. We want Pat Brady. We don't want anything to do with you. And then you have the Dan Prof side saying, fine, best of luck. And so it'll be interesting to see what they maybe at the City Club we can arrange some sort of a, you know, come to Jesus moment with the two of them, and they can shake hands and work together on some of these policy issues for the fall. Yes? No?
Can I confess now my involvement in all this?
Oh, uh-oh. Gosh.
All right, here's what happened.
Waited long enough.
Yeah.
All right, here's what
buried
happened.
The lead.
When this thing started going down, I was like, well, after the, I was talking to both those guys, after the election, how's the unity gonna go, okay? And that's where it came up with the ball peen hammer line, because they ran out of hatchets in the ball peen hammer. But both of those guys were like, the other side, the hell with them. And I'm thinking, this is before the election. You know, because at certain points in that night, the establishment, the Rauner people, didn't know that they were going to win this thing. Mm-hmm. And so they were already on the, you know, you know what I mean? They're already fighting after the burning of Joan of Arc, right? They mm-hmm. were already trying to
kill
Joan.
Was already ugly, yeah.
It's already ugly. So, Kristen and I will go.
I'll be there. I'll definitely be there. Can't miss this.
I'll get us three tickets.
Three tickets, body armor.
This is the truth of it. Fighting leads to killing. And killing gets to warring. And that was damn near the death of us all. Look at us now, busted up and everyone talking about hard rain. Now when men get to fighting, it happens here and it finishes here. Two men enter, one man leaves.
So on another subject, okay, if we can move on to something really important, which is food, okay?
Yeah.
Betty's going to kill me for asking you this on the air because she said I shouldn't. But
how much do you weigh? Is that what you're going to ask me?
Not how much do I weigh, not how old are you. You guys want to come over to my house for non-heretic Easter?
non-heretic Easter, yes.
No offense, guys. Come on, everybody. I love you guys.
Are you going to make lamb?
Yeah, lamb? What else am I going to make?
Of course.
Cocoa Krispies?
I'm there.
Does the Pope believe in the hell? Yeah, wait, that's not. Yes, I'll be there. I'll definitely bring some pie. Some pie?
Wow, I got. There's a lot of people, so yeah.
I'll bring two pies.
Yeah, we got about 40 people coming.
Great.
I'm going to do a lamb. I'm going to do a big leg of lamb as well, because some people don't like I don't know why they wouldn't, but.
Oh my gosh, it was so delicious.
Well, you had the lamb shanks. You haven't had the roast.
Oh, lamb. I didn't know. What's the difference?
The difference is lamb shanks are braised in the, braising liquid, whereas a roast turns on the spit.
Oh, yum.
And if it's not balanced, then it becomes a carnival show.
Jeff was there when.
Oh my gosh, is this going to be like that?
Yes.
What?
Are you going to be roasting something in the front yard?
With, oh my
God. The head and the eyes.
Where else would I
need to warn my children?
Jim Kirk's kids?
Yeah.
Jim Kirk's daughter. Jim Kirk was the former editor and publisher of the Sun-Times, now back here with us at the Trunk or whatever we're called. His daughter, they came over and his daughter saw the head.
Oh God.
And said, Mr. Cass is cooking a dog. And then Betty's running around trying to get cereal for the kids to eat. The kids wouldn't eat. So now I have to, no matter what I order from Casey's, they cut the head off, whether I like it or not. Because Betty is like adamant with Casey's, like, you better cut the head off.
She warned them.
What?
Yeah. She warned them, yeah. Do not tell this man
better?
A head.
Now it's a headless beast.
You can make soup out of the head.
I used to have the leg men eat the head.
Oh, my God.
That was the.
I bet lamb cheek is very tasty.
It's very good with a little paring knife and a cold beer, some green onions, and ESPN, the top 10 on ESPN. Oh, yeah.
Is there anything. See, I eat meat, but I don't like to watch how it comes to be, how it shows up on my plate. So nothing about that is disturbing to you? Like seeing the eyeballs and the hair on the body?
I'm
and
a hunter.
All that?
Okay, I killed Thumper. My dog kills Thumper whenever he can.
God, I hate that.
What?
Poor little bunny.
What am I supposed to do? Dog. The stupid rabbits come out there and they know there's a dog there. And they still come in the yard. It's their fault.
It's their fault.
I can't help it.
Do you know when I had lamb at your house? It was the first time I've ever had lamb because
she's
it was
so Irish,
a hard
man.
Thing to eat because I think of the little furry, woolly.
There was an Irish guy, reader of my column, who grew up on a lamb farm in Ireland and loved lamb. The Irish are famous for their lamb. You know this.
And their wool.
And their wool, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their whiskey.
I'm fine with the shearing of the lamb for my wool
sweater,
but I don't like the slaughtering of the lamb.
You don't like the silence of them?
The silence of the lamb.
Hello, Clarice.
Jeff came over with a...
Put the lotion in the basket. It will put the lotion on its skin.
It puts the lotion on its skin. We say that when we baste it.
Oh, God.
But Jeff came over. I think it was a couple years ago he came over. And for some reason, the lamb wasn't tied properly. And it was actually... Somebody made a mistake and put it on backwards. And it started falling apart.
Oh, no.
The spit started, like, walking down the driveway because it was unbalanced as this thing's rotating on
it. Unbalanced spit so that the haunch is going one way and the four quarters are going the other way. And it was like a disaster.
Oh, my gosh.
And Jeff saw a master pit man take care of this.
Sure did. And the best part about the whole thing is that not only is that this is going in the front driveway, so the entire neighborhood is experiencing this Cass Easter.
Right.
But then in the back, there were like five grills going with various chickens and I think the dragon treats were there.
Oh, the dragon treats, yeah.
Can we maybe post a little video?
Oh, for sure.
Is that too intrusive? Do a little Facebook Live, John?
What, a Facebook Live? I don't know about that.
Gosh,
I may have to ask Betty, but a video would be okay. As long as she's got her hair combed, what I mean?
Of course.
Because she's still pissed off at that picture I took of her when she made the lamb.
It's a gorgeous picture. It is.
It is.
So, yeah, okay, so you guys are going to come, bring the family.
Tell me what to bring. I'll
Nothing.
Talk
oh,
to
though,
Betty.
You know what, though?
What?
Kristen gave me a bottle of wine to commemorate the run I had at WLS. Remember that show?
Mm-hmm.
That station? You remember the show because you're the producer.
I do.
And the station was the one that fired me after we got the ROM into the runoff. Remember that?
Right.
I'll never forget that. And Kristen gave a bottle of wine. And I found it when I was cleaning my office.
Oh.
So I tried it. It was delicious,
was it?
Kristen.
Good,
I sent you a picture.
Yes. I was more intrigued by that. Like filet next to the bottle of wine.
Do you like your meat well done or
no? Medium rare.
All right. Here's the problem that I have, and Jeff knows this. Okay, when you have a bunch of Greeks and lamb, you have to cook it medium to medium well.
Okay, that's good.
Because they're little babies. About it should be lamb chops should be pink. It should be
but
medium
like
rare.
Pink
they
middle.
Won't. No, especially the old timers. Oh, my God. My mom will like roll over. She'll go in the fetal position and start screaming if she sees one speck of blood anywhere. So, yeah. All right. So, lamb, leg of lamb. The kids can come and touch the lamb as it's rolling. And you have to be there when we take it off the spit.
I'm imagining this. Like, it's like an infant. You just
let Jeff describe the...
Do you carry it like this? Do you swaddle it?
I only saw when you were in rescue mode after it was...
Oh, that's right, because I had to rescue
the thing.
Yeah. And take it off the spit, and Betty and I always have a fight over her sides versus my meat. Right? Which comes first.
Oh, I see.
So I will not cut my lamb until her sides are ready. And come on out. Fill up your sides with your... Tomates and your pasticho and your spanakopita and everything, and salad and all that, and then come out and I will cut the lamb for you.
Okay.
And then we're at the table and everyone crowds around when I'm trying to get it ready to be cut,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's grabbing at it. And
oh
I have
my
to take
God.
So I have to put a bowl of cut lemons and salt out there, and then I cut I take the chopper and do my butcher tricks,
yes.
and chop it up. But I have to save the back end, which is the end along the spine where the loin is. And people love that roast loin with the roast garlic coming out of the lamb. Perfect.
Okay.
On that note, it's been another edition of the Chicago Way. Happy Easter to all the Western Christians who've had Easter and are still feeling the glow. And Happy Easter to the Orthodox Christians who will have it. And if you're not a Christian, still, lamb is good. Okay, we can all agree on that. And so is Jeff Carlin's pies. So for Jeff Carlin of WGN and Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune editorial board, and for all the politicians who love listening to this show, because we know what you're really about, this is the Chicago Way.